First thing I wanted to do is welcome all of you who are here. How many of you, this is your first encounter gathering? Raise your hand. Okay, let's give them a hand for coming. And you know, one of the things that some of you probably heard by now, we are a church that has the life groups that many of you are part of. And then also we have these Friday nights around once a month or so, so we can gather all together as a church. And this is a really good time to get trained. We want to train you to give you some practical skills. And so today we want to talk about real friendship. So how many of you have actually downloaded our church app? Okay, I would say maybe most of you, but some of you still have not. And if you have not, my first thought is, why not? And then the second thing is, too bad, because we gave a push notification sometime in this afternoon, early afternoon, and we asked two simple questions. And if you got those questions correctly, and you were the first or the 10th respondent, we have a little something for you. So the question, those of you who were not informed or those of you who did not respond fast enough, the question was this. According to psychologists, what is the maximum number of people that an individual can maintain a personal friendship with? Now, just before we get the right number, let me just say this. Some of you have over 1,000 friends on your Facebook. When I look at that, I just said it's a joke because you probably only know a handful of those 1,000 people. I'm just trying to speak honestly here because you met them on the street and you go, can I get your Facebook or whatever? And some of you already blocked them because you don't like the stuff that they're writing on their, what do you call that thing? I don't really use Facebook. The wall. And so you block them, right? And they probably blocked you because you're writing some weird stuff, all right? And so realistically speaking, also Snapchat, I know some of you guys have a lot of friends, and you are still going strong. It's been 73 days of nonstop, just, you know, making sure that you don't break that streak. Realistically, some of you don't really know them, but you just don't want to be the bad guy or the bad girl, so you just continue to do it. You take pictures of walls, of the floor, and you send it out to continue the streak. So I don't know how many of you know this, but the choices are, do we have a choice? We don't, right? The answer is, does anyone know? 150 is correct. So think about your Facebook now, your Snapchat. That 1,900, whatever you have, it's a joke. The people that you really do know and you have at least some level of friendship or acquaintance that's pretty solid would be about 150. That's like the average. Some will be less, some will be more. The second question was a little bit tougher. You had to do a little bit more research. The second question was, we're not moving fast. There's no second question. Do you guys know the second question? What was it? To be able to say friend or the word friend in 5 different languages. So you probably really quickly went to your Google Translate and you did it in Afrikaani and Swahili and all these other languages. You copied and pasted, you put it on there. By the way, forgive us that the Google Doc was in Chinese, well, some parts of it. So, because I was reading, I'm like, what is this? You know? And so we're going to correct that. And so anyway, not to say the Chinese language is bad, but anyway, okay, Chinese language, incredible. Chinese language is beautiful. Now, for every 2 positive, I'm going to say one thing. I can't read that thing, all right? So I need to start practicing. Anyway, by the way, well, we'll talk later, but in Chinese, did you know that before the Bible was written, the Chinese lettering, it actually talks about the Bible. It's pretty cool. So like a lot of times when you talk to Chinese people, they're like, oh, that's a Western faith or that's like a imperialistic whatever. But then you tell them, because do you guys know the word righteousness? Do you guys know, how do you say it in Chinese? E, what? E, that means righteousness. If you break up the Chinese character, it's a lamb over me, right? Lamb over me, so the Lamb of God is over you, so you are righteous, not because of what you do. Tonight, we're not going to talk about real friendships. We're going to talk about how Chinese language dominates. So now some of you guys are understanding. Lamb over me. The characters. So that means that the righteousness is the Lamb of God covers us. And that's why we are righteous. Okay? Amen. I'm getting distracted here. We might have to reset the timer. Okay. All right. I want to just once again just really encourage all of you to download the app. And the reason why we're going to do this is we're not going to do this contest all the time. Can you imagine every single Sunday? It's going to get a little bit over the top. But what we wanted to do is, since we introduced it last week, we're going to try to use it more often for notes as well as just different announcements, especially church-wide things that we might have to announce, some urgent matters that might come up. And so we're going to try to do all that. So make sure you guys download it, HMCC at Hong Kong, and you'll see it and you can download it. All right? So if you do have it now, you can go ahead and open it up because there's some questions there, and I put pretty much the outline for my sermon today on that. So you could go ahead and learn, turn to it, and then also write down some notes if you want to kind of follow along with us. So I want to start off with the question: if you had to pick one trait that describes a good friend, what would it be? Just one trait. I know there are many, many traits, but if you had to pick one trait, what would it be? I'm pretty confident that there will be many different answers. In fact, a lot of your answers will be dependent upon what you value. And what I value might not necessarily be what you value. And what you value might not be what I might value, or I might not put up as the number one trait. So for me, I'm just going to kind of share from my perspective. I think the one trait that I would choose, if I had to choose amongst many good traits that describe a good friend, the one trait that I would say it's up there, at least for me, is loyalty. That's why I'm big on the mafia. I'm big on all these gang kind of stuff. Loyalty to me is really important when it comes to good friendships. And we could define it in so many different ways, and hopefully we'll talk a little bit about that. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, like loyalty, like someone who's willing to lay down their life for me in the same way I'm willing to lay down my life for them. I'm not willing to lay down my life for just anybody. But if that person is a good friend, I'm willing to do everything possible to help them, will even at the point of laying down my life. That's why I think, to me, that's something that I really value when it comes to friends. Now, this got confirmed to me when I just kind of, you watch all these movies, and there are many movies where it's scenes in the movie where there are people who are really loyal to each other, or on the opposite end, they're disloyal or there's betrayal. I don't know what it is, but I knew that this was so important to me because there are a couple movies that I watched that got me all worked up. I literally wanted to stand up in the movie theater or in front of my TV and just like yell at that person. Then I'm like, why am I getting all worked up? And I go, oh, because I value loyalty. Some of these movies you might not have seen, and I want to tell you, you might want to see it, because these two movies I'm going to refer to now are in the top AFI, the American Film Institute, top 100 film that's supposed to be, they have a lot of different lists. And under this list of the most inspiring movies, these two movies are up there. So the first one, I don't know how many of you guys know, is Braveheart. Now, just to kind of introduce this without giving you the whole plot, it was filmed in 1995, so some of you were not even born, all right? So you were like in heaven somewhere. God's creative mind, he was going to form you. But you might want to watch this. It gets a little gory for some of you who don't like violence and stuff, but it was directed by Mel Gibson, and on the AFI list, it is ranked number 62 of the most inspiring movies. And this is a part, I mean, I can't go into all the, because I don't have much time, but pretty much Mel Gibson, he's William Wallace, and this is where Scotland wanted to be separate from England. And so here is this other person, I think his name was Robert the Bruce. And so they were talking about uniting the clans together to kind of find this independence. And so there was a sense of, we're in this together. But then towards the movie, as it progressed on, there was a betrayal. And I want you to look at this next picture. And I know this is the look. I won't tell you when it happened, what happened, but I just want you to look. This is the look of betrayal. And I wanted to literally get up and beat up that other guy. Go back to the other picture. He looks so nice. Look at the gold coming out of his neck. And then go back to the other picture. And then you see that is the look of betrayal. Another movie that I got really worked up in was, and this one is in the AFI list of most inspiring, and this one is number 10. So I don't know how many of you have seen it. It was produced in 1998, and the movie is Saving Private Ryan. I don't know how many of you have seen Saving Private Ryan. And it was directed by Steven Spielberg, a famous director many of you know. So here's a picture, and I'm going to try not to give you the whole, you know, plot and everything, but pretty much they're trying to protect this one guy, and they were in enemy territory. This was filmed during the World War II. And this guy, who was part of the platoon, he was probably one of the most wimpiest guys. He was just afraid of everything. And so here he is, where he's actually overhearing some of his soldiers, fellow soldiers, getting killed in this room. And he is so scared and wanting to preserve his life that he allowed his friends to get killed. Here's another picture in part of the film. And he was going to go up, but he decided he couldn't. And that's when the killer, the German soldier, kind of looked at him and had so much, it was almost like disgust. You're such a coward. He said, you're not even worthy of my blade or my bullet. So he just walked past him. And look at his face. And I remember watching this on the big screen. I literally wanted to stand up and say, coward! But then that would not be very good. So when your friends do not have your back, to me, is something that I would conclude that that's not a good friend. I think it's very disappointing and very disheartening. Some of you think, well, this is human life. But do you know that it's also in the animal kingdom? Some of you don't believe me. Well, I'm going to show you a quick video. It's at the Kruger National Park in South Africa. And a couple actually captured this film when a wildebeest was being kind of bitten by a crocodile. And so he's trying to escape, but the crocodile is pulling him in. And so there's two things that I want you to notice as you watch this. First of all, just as you're watching this, watch how, see what the other wildebeest, his friends, right? See what his other friends are doing. That's the first thing I want you to look at. Second thing I want you to watch out for is, guess who comes in to help? So those are the two things I want you to kind of think about as you're watching this video. What are the wildebeest friends doing? And also, watch and see who comes to help them. Do we not send that one? Oh, we did not send that one. I thought I did, but we did not. Okay. We'll skip over it. We'll watch it later. We'll send it through the push notification on the church app. I knew there was a purpose for everything in life, all right? God is good. He could overcome all our whatever defunct stuff. Anyway, so okay, I'll just tell you. I'll describe. In mid-afternoon, you know. So here's this wildebeest, and he's being literally bitten by the crocodile on one of his the foot or the legs, one of the legs of this wildebeest. And all the wildebeest, they're just watching. They're just watching. They're not doing anything. And all of a sudden, there's a struggle going back and forth. He's trying to escape, but then he keeps on getting dragged in, trying to escape. And then he gets really tired. This is like a 6-minute thing, but they truncated. And then finally, from the corner of the video, guess who comes? These two animals. And they are the largest animals in the water, aka otherwise known as the hippos. And so the hippos, I don't know why I'm talking like this. Anyway, the hippopotamus. I'm like pretending I'm like actually there. shh, the hippos are there. So anyway, the hippos come and literally kind of stomp towards the alligator, and the alligator lets go, and the wildebeest walks away. And as I was thinking about this, I just realized how just sad it is just to see that even the fellow wildebeest are like, I don't want to touch that. You're on your own. And so even for me, not only through movies, but even in the animal kingdom, I'm like, disloyal, coward, Bill Wildebeest. I think all of us, we want to come to a point where we understand the value of good friends. And I think some of us in this room, we have good friends right now, and hopefully all of you are very thankful for your friends that you have. Some of us might be hurt by some maybe former friends that we had, whether it was a gossip or maybe they did something to you. I think for some of us, you might not even have these kind of friends and people that you can experience genuine friendships with. And so even tonight, as we talk about friendships, I know that there's a whole wide range of people in this room. Also, I'm very aware that the friends that you make in college, sometimes it's different from the kind of friends that you're going to need as single adults, as some of you who are post-college. We're here. I'll try to address some of those things as best as I can. And so we all want friends that will stay with us for the long haul, who will be committed to us. And that's why I want to give you this one verse as we kind of get started. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And the Message translation says, "Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks to you like family." And I think this is something that we all desire and something that we all want. And so I want to talk specifically about friendships that we can come together in the context of life group. And this is the reason why we're going to try to do some life group activity afterwards and have us talk about what good friendship is all about. So today we're going to learn about these biblical truths about good friendship. So I want to, at this time, we're going to break up into some huddle groups to talk about this. Can we just go ahead and get in groups of three? So just grab two other people around you. Let's make sure no one's alone. If you want, you can just make a group of four. Just bring someone in if there's not enough. So let's quickly make a group of three. Okay, did you guys all make a group of three? All right, hopefully you've made a group of three. In your church app, there will be questions. We also have it up here for those of you who didn't download it yet. But I want you to discuss these two questions. First question is this: what are some of the hindrances of finding and making good friends? All right, that's the first question I want you guys to talk about. And also, I want to talk about what Jim Rohn said. He said this: you are the average, listen to this carefully, this is important, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Some of you are really excited, or some of you feeling a little bit nervous and depressed. You are literally the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. And so that's why the question is this: if someone was allowed into your friendship circle and observed the five friends that you are close to, what can they conclude about you? As you think about some of those friends. So you're going to have to share a little bit more honestly there. All right? So I'm going to give you a good 10 to 12 minutes to discuss this and share with one another. Go ahead. Okay, let's just come back together. I mean, how many of you, this is your first time hearing that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with? That's why there's some truth to this, where I don't really have to get to know you. I just have to know who you hang around with, and I know what type of person you are. Now, please, don't misunderstand me, because some of us are trying to reach out to people, love on people in various ways, but the people that you consider your close friends, because they shape you, they mold you, they influence you, or you influence them. So you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. So if you're the smartest one in that group, you know what that means. I don't have to go pretty far with that, right? Praise God you're there because you're upping the average, okay? But you are literally the average of the five people that you're with. And if they're all lazy, you always get one or two in that group of five, right? Always. So you kind of keep them going. So once again, you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. And I really believe that. That is true. As I think about my life in different stages of my life where I had different friends, and now I have friends who are with me for life, I realize that they have made me better in so many different ways. And I've sharpened them in different ways. And that's why we are achieving things that God has allowed us to experience because of His grace over our lives, because we're challenging one another. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about seven specific traits. And some of you are like, seven? On Sunday, he talks only about two. But it's really about like four because he has sub-points. But I have been commanded from on high, not from Jesus or God, but just from people who are trying to keep me accountable. I got to end this thing by nine so we could have time in our life group. Do you know by me saying this to you, it took a lot of guts? This is what we call accountability to the max. Because as soon as I see more of this or like, uh-huh, pastor, mm-hmm, 2 more minutes, it's going to be 9 o'clock, forget about it as the spirit leads, as the executive team leads, that we follow, okay, so, here we go, so, seven, how do you spell friends?
F-R-I-E-N-D-S.
Perfect, seven, here we go, F. Doing okay? The first one, F. We're talking about just some traits that you could tell if you are good friends or things that make up good friendship. The F is fun to be with. Aww. I mean, you wouldn't be friends if you're not having fun, right? You're like, oh my God, who are they? You know, when you think about good friends, I think one of the traits you will always notice, whether you're friends or when you look at other people and they're very close with one another, one of the traits you will notice is that they love being around one another. I mean, it sounds so obvious, but sometimes we forget. Like some of the closest and good friends, you don't even have to try. You just enjoy being around one another. You will also see them, if you see people who are good friends, you'll always see them laughing together. I would wonder to myself if some of you are hanging out and you're like, yeah, we're really good friends. And we just watch you for about 5 minutes. You don't even laugh together. You don't enjoy being around each other. I think a big part of this is because of similar interests. And because when we have similar interests together, it just makes it so much more fun to be around with one another. I also think part of it is because of similar experiences. That's another thing. I remember when I was in high school and even just throughout college, one of the things I've noticed very quickly is that when we had similar experiences or similar interests, we were close. We were hanging out. But as soon as that soccer season was done, or as soon as, you know, that one season of life, we moved away to different universities, whatever the case may be, all of a sudden you realize that what you really had wasn't very deep. It was almost very superficial. And so the common interest is there, but that's not enough to build really good friendship. It's a trait. It's an important one, but it's not enough to build one that will last for a lifetime. And so you have to see it as the people that are around me, the people that are considered my friends. Like, do I enjoy being around them? Do we have fun together? Do we laugh together? I think those are good signs that you have a very good friendship. You know, I can have fun with my family, just not only with my family, but also with my friends, because one of the things I just really love is when I could touch base with some of these guys I've known for 34 years. That's a long time. Now it's going on, my goodness, Lord, we're going on 35 now, 35 years. And this is the part that's amazing. whenever we get together, which is like once a year, but whenever we see each other, all we have to do is, back then we had to pop in a cassette tape into our car, but now we have the MP3. All we have to do is play this one song, and we just, what, it doesn't matter what weather is outside, we just want to roll down the windows and let the wind go through our hair. Now we have less hair, but we just want the wind to go through, and we just kind of like, it's really funny. I wish you could see this. It's like, as soon as we hear this music, it's just, we just get quiet and we just start moving our body and we just go back in time. You should probably see our eyes. We're probably going, ah, we're going back in time when we were in high school. So I want to introduce you to this music. When I hear this, some of you probably have never heard this before. If you've heard this, you're a real techno junkie. All right. You know your stuff. You know your music. And every time I hear this, or my friends, because this is the music we grew up with, because we were the breakdancing generation. So you guys think that you guys are really the pop. I'm telling you right now, I know how to do that stuff. Watch out. I'm the S-Dragon. Watch out. We used to do a lot of popping. We used to do a lot of breakdancing and stuff. And back then we had these boom boxes, you know, those radios. And we'll just leave right there and we'll start dancing. We just get like, what do you call that? Boxes, you know, those boxes that we open it up and we spin around there, do all this kind of stuff. We loved it. So is the music ready? Okay, I want to see if some of you memorize this. Go ahead, play it. Anyone know this? I always tell people, if you don't know your alphabet or your vowels, this is how you do the vowel. Listen very carefully. Turn it up. Go ahead, turn it up. The song is A-E-I-O-U, and it's by Freeze. And when our kids were younger, we would crank this up, and we would teach our kids how to do the vowels. My wife and I, we were crazy. But that was our generation. And so every single time I hear this music or any of the songs from the 80s, like, I get very nostalgic. And that's why whenever we're together, we just laugh and we just have a great time. It's because of shared experiences and common things that we have. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. I know that there is nothing better than men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. You know, God created us so that we can enjoy things. I'm going to talk a little bit about that this Sunday, the enjoyment of God. And part of it is that when you're able to enjoy and have laughter and be around people that you love and you care about and they care about you, that really is a gift from God. And I want to encourage some of us here. I know that some of you are still trying to find who your friends are, whether it's in college or post-college. But this is something that it's a gift from God to be able to enjoy the things that he has given, especially friends. So that's something that we can pray about. Let me go over the other ones quickly here, though. Not only fun to be with, but the second thing is respects you. It's a person who respects you. Let me kind of give you the American Heritage Dictionary that defines respect in this way. It is a feeling of appreciative, often deferential regard or esteem. It is a state of being regarded with honor or esteem, due regard for something considered important. So when a person esteems you and considers you very important to them, then it's a very good foundation for a good friendship. Now, be careful of being around people that do not respect you or those who do not love you, because there are people who will just use you for whatever the reason. And I think this is something that we just have to kind of think through, is like the people that you consider your friends, do they respect you? I mean, part of the reason why you could ask yourself this question is just Go back to those times when you think about your friends and you were in a moment of seriousness and you're sharing some of your thoughts, some of the things that were from your heart. And if they really respect you, you know what they'll do? They'll listen to you. They will consider your opinion, your thoughts. If you have friends who literally just don't care about your thoughts, your feelings, I don't know if they're really good friends. So they're either using you or they're going to drop you in any moment. That's something to just consider. And the reason why this is important is because I think every single one of us, we all want to know and we want to be known. And when you have people in your life that knows you and that you can share whatever you want to share and they respect you for who you are as a person, those are good traits to be able to build some good friendships. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, listen to what it says in the New American Standard Bible. It says this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. You know, those are the kind of people you want to bring around. Those people who are giving preference to you because they honor you. They respect you. They love you because Christ loves you and Christ loves that person. And I think this is something to keep in mind. So once again, I'm trying to help us to kind of look at the traits that will make the foundations for good friendships of people that you can have fun with and people who respect you. Can I just make a little side comment on that? Respect is something that I believe that everyone should be able to do on a human level because you're made in the image of God. But on the flip side, some of us in this room, if you want to be a good friend or you want to have good friendship, you have to be respectable. Amen? What I mean by that is you got to grow in your character. Some of us have such small little hearts that's why people don't want to hang out with you. Because they don't respect you because you're always getting emotional. And they're like, oh my God, drama. You know, and so like, who wants to be in a drama except for on a TV show? Like, you just want to watch it, but you don't want to be in it. And so those of us who are like attracting drama all the time, people don't want that. So sometimes they might not respect you for that. So I always tell people this. Part of respecting people is to respect them at the basic level because they're human beings made in the image of God. But the higher level of respect for someone is that there has to be something that you're respecting that person for. And so sometimes when I see people with character, when I see people with certain traits that are admirable or things that I know that I need to work on because they have something that I don't have, I want to be able to learn from them. In the same way, we want to kind of build that in our lives. The third thing is this. So the first one is F is what? Want to be with second one? Respects you. That's someone who respects you. That's a good trait they should have. And the third, the I, is inspires you. A good friend should be able to motivate and inspire you to be better. Too often, I think we hang around with people who always bring us down. Part of inspiration is that you're tapping into things, your potential, and they're challenging you to be better. And that's why, as I shared earlier, we need to be around people who are good influences around us. That's what the Bible talks about. You know, good character can be easily corrupted by bad company, the people that you hang around with. Now, once again, that doesn't mean that you can't hang around people who don't know Christ or maybe who have certain things, because some of you, God has placed them in your life so you can be a blessing to them. But once again, if they're influencing you more than you're influencing them, then that's a problem. I always tell people, then check your heart. So once again, are they inspiring you? I believe good friends always bring the best in us, bring out the best in us. Therefore, we have to be willing to be challenged. And we also have to challenge those people that we call our friends. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says in the New Living Translation. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. This idea of sharpening, where you're constantly, sometimes you're rubbing shoulders in a way that, you know, you rub them the wrong way, but it's sharpening you. It's making you sharper because he's your friend or she's your friend. I want to show you some pictures here. There are two friends. It was in the Chinese media that became kind of viral. But one man, this elderly man was blind, and the other elderly man, he's disabled. He has no limbs, no arms. And so one guy has no arms, the other person is blind, but they ended up planting over 10,000 trees all over China just because, you know, they wanted to kind of beautify some of these areas. And so I want to show you some pictures of this friendship. And you could just tell, I mean, I don't know, as I was watching this, it started inspiring me. Like, if I somehow were amongst them and they were my friends, they would inspire me just looking at some of these pictures. So let me show you some pictures here. So the man on the right, he has no limbs, he has no arms. And the one on the left who's bending down, he's blind. But so you have to try to imagine this. Like, the guy on the right can't do a lot of things. He has to use his feet a lot. And the guy who's bending down, he can't see, so he needs to be dependent on the other guy so that he can hear, like, oh, move it over here or do this. And so they have to work together. And so they're inspiring each other as they're planting 10,000 trees, over 10,000 trees all over China. Here's some other pictures. And so once again, the guy on the right is blind, so he's holding onto just a sleeve. And so they could go together, and he's carrying the wood there. Here's some other pictures. I thought this was very touching, just seeing this. And so the man who's blind, he's on the back of the person with no limbs. They're crossing a river as they're going from place to place to plant these trees. Here's some couple others. I thought this was very creative. I don't know what they're doing, but they're probably knocking down some of those old dead branches there or whatever the case may be. But here they are working together. I thought this was great. You know, so the guy who could actually see has no arms, so he can't really use the cell phone. So the other guy's just holding the cell phone for him. You know, to me, when I see these kind of pictures, it inspires me. It reminds me how we need one another. And I'm wondering if you have friends who can inspire you to do things, and or you do things together. And then I think this is the last picture, right? Yeah. And so I just want to put that picture in your mind for a moment. Because as I was thinking about some of your friends, and I'm thinking about my friends, like, who are those people? And do they really inspire you? And I will say this, the friends that we need are people who will help us to get to know God more. In fact, if some of the friends that you have, you don't even have a conversation of what's most important to you, I wouldn't say you're really good friends, you just hang out buddies. Because good friends are people that you can share some of your deepest things with and the things that you care about, the things that are important to you. I mean, you could agree to disagree, but are they people, are they the type of people that you can share some of your deepest aspirations? And that's why I want to challenge us, those of us who are part of our church, that one of the things that we try to emphasize a lot is the mission. The mission that God has given to us in our church. And one of the things that I want to challenge all of you with is, do you have people around you that inspire you and challenge you to live out that mission? I think that's another trait, if you want to look at it from a different angle, why it is so important to have a common mission, to have good friendship. I mean, when I think about some of my friends, I normally would not get along with them. We have a different sense of humor. There are different things that we just don't click with. But some of these guys are in my inner five or so circle because we have gone through things in a certain stage of our lives that were very significant and impactful. Not only that, but we were building our friendship around a mission. And that's why we have been friends for this long. Because it's still that mission that we're trying to live out. Many of my friends are in the ministry. So they're pastors or missionaries, and those things just develop. I mean, I have other friends who are just friends, and they're doing a lot of other things as well. But the one that are the closest to me are the ones that we're still on the same mission. We're still trying to live for God's glory, to make disciples of all nations, and to go out and to live it out with His glory in mind. And that's why I'm constantly inspired by them. And as they will say, as I'm challenging them and inspiring them, and that's how we continue to strengthen each other as we sharpen one another. So once again, the F is fun with that person or those people. The R is respects you. The I is inspires you. And the E is encourages you. Find friends who will encourage you. You know, there will be many times, as many of you can probably testify, many people go through struggles in life. And there is what we want to look at it during those difficult times. You need friends who will encourage you along the way. Let me just be clear. A lot of times when you hear the word encouragement, you think of just people who say nice things to you. That's not the biblical word of encouragement. The word encouragement, if you think about that word, is somebody who is kind of like spurring you on, who's literally kind of challenging you with the truth of God's word to be all that you're supposed to be. So like, for instance, let's say I just failed in something, or just I'm very discouraged, and it's easy to beat yourself up, as many of you know, because you've been in those situations. Or maybe your parents, they've said some things to you that are not true biblically, but somehow you've been trained to just believe that lie. And so here you are, very discouraged. And that friend, if they are a good friend, they could come right alongside you, and they don't even have to say anything. They could just sit there with you, cry with you, but towards somehow the turning of the corner where they will say something that is true according to God's word, and they begin to encourage you like, yeah, that's right. I'm not this, this, and this, but I am a child of God. I am loved by God. I am forgiven. And that will help you to overcome whatever it is that you're struggling with. I think a good test should be when things are hard or when you're feeling very discouraged. Does that person help you to gain perspective in your life? I think that will be one of the best tests to really see if that person is a good friend and they are an encourager in your life. When things are hard and you're very discouraged, do they help you to gain perspective in that situation? If they do, I guarantee you, you want to hold on to them because they're a pretty good friend. Because that means that they're not shy to tell you the truth, but they're doing it in such a way with love because they care about you. They know the situation you're in. They know it's hard, but they want to point you to back to Jesus and back to God. That's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25, listen to what it says in the ESV. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. So once again, it's Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, is encouraging the people to hold fast, to don't let go of the confession of this hope that we have. Be unwavering in this. It says, for he who promised is faithful. It's a reminder of who God is. God is a faithful God. Verse 24, and it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So once again, it's about, are you stirring one another? Are you encouraging one another towards love and good works? Not neglecting to meet together. See, that's another thing. You know, some of my friends, I only see them once a year. But we make a commitment to see each other every single year, because this is something that we believe is important to us. And of course, we keep in touch through text and all this other means of communication. But we make sure that it is one of the priorities for us that we do meet together. As some of us are a habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And the day is referring to when Jesus Christ will come back. So do you have these kind of friends who are encouraging you, especially when you're struggling through different things in your life? I like the New Living Translation of verse 24. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another. Like, do you have people who motivate you? These are the people who are encouraging you to live out your destiny in your life. As I mentioned before, my close friends and I, we come together once a year for these mini conferences that we have. We usually read a couple books and we talk about it together, talk about our ministry context. But one of the best times that we have is not only just having fun together and sharing what's going on, but towards the end of our time, we actually put one person in the middle and they just share their heart, the things that they're struggling with, the things that they're going through, anywhere from marriage to family issues with their kids to ministry and just everything they're going through in their life. This past one, we talked about like entering into midlife crisis, and we're just talking about all these different issues that come with it. And as we were talking together, what we'll do is after that person shares, we just circle around them and we just pray for them. And then the next person comes in and just shares their heart. And then the different situation, they're in ministry. Some of them are going through some difficult things. And then they come in the middle, they share, and then we circle around them and we lay our hands on them and we pray for them. That's how we try to encourage one another. There's nothing more we can do in these kind of situations but to pray and to encourage each other in that way. So the fifth is non-judgmental. You got to find people who are non-judgmental. Do you know when we have good friends around us, you know They're good friends because they accept you for who you are and they pass no judgments. I like to look at it this way. They see the worst in you and they still love you. If you ever have to try to put your best foot forward in front of them, you're either trying to win their favor or they're not really your friends. You're trying to like do something. You're trying to impress them or whatever. That's not a really good friend. If you can literally be yourself and just, you don't have to put your best foot forward, but they see the worst in you and they still love you and accept you, those are the kind of people that you want in your life. Somebody once said, if you really want to know who your friends are, make a mistake. I love that. Because when you screw up, and I'm talking about, I've known other people who've made some big mistakes along the way. A lot of times, that's when no one wants to be around them. It's only those people who are the close friends, even if it's the worst, a publicly humiliating mistake, they're the ones who will come around you. That's when you really know who your friends are. Like, they all want to be your friend because you have something to offer to them. But when you make a mistake, do you have those people who are still around you? That's how you know who your friends are. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says this, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. I like the Message translation. It says this, friends love through all kinds of weather, even Typhoon 10. And families stick together in all kinds of trouble. It's this idea of spiritual family, that we're together because we go through difficulties together. We're not going to ditch you because it's hard now. We'll continue to commit to you. So once again, the F is what? Fun to be with. The R? Respects you. The I? Inspires you. E? Encourages you. N? Is non-judgmental. And the D is dependable. Let me read to you the Macmillan Dictionary describing what a dependable person is. It's someone who always behaves in a sensible way and does what they say they will do. That's dependable. Hey man, I'll be there at 7:30. And they're there at 7:30, if not earlier. They're dependable. Hey, I'll make sure I'll take care of that. I'll write out that email. And they do it. They're dependable. And just think about it. When there is somebody in your life that's dependable, like you just your heart opens up. Because you realize that anything that they say, they're going to do. That's why dependability, what it does is it builds trust. So once trust is built, that's when you can open your heart even more. And that's where the closeness in that relationship comes. Are you dependable? Somebody you can count on. Someone who's consistent. That's why you could always expect the same thing from them over and over again. That's why some of us, you know the joy of having good, dependable friends where you could tell secrets or things that are really deep inside your heart. No one else knows, but you can share. And you know that they're not going to share it with somebody else. You know they're not going to like blurt it out or like let it slip out. I think dependable people are ones that you can fully put your trust in and grow together in. That's why I like the Ecclesiastes passage, chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. A lot of times they use this in a marriage text, but I think this is a really good text of having somebody that's very dependable. Listen to what it says. Two people are better than off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be kept warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. I like this visual, right, coming up. It says, but two can stand, what? Back to back. What a powerful picture. Let me, Leon, come on up here. I'm gonna just, like, back to back. We're ready to go. What are you doing? He's like, right? Do you ever see that picture, that visual picture where it's back to back? And you feel like you could literally conquer the world. That's what it's saying here. That you can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. As you know, that is in reference to having Christ in the center of your relationship. That when it's intertwined together, it's very difficult to break. Because God is the one who's the ultimate dependable person. And when you find those people here on this earth, You want to hold on to them. You want to make sure that you build that relationship with them, because that's what will produce good friendships. And lastly, once again, F is fun to be with. R respects you. I inspires you. E encourages you. N non-judgmental. D dependable. And S is sacrificial. You know, there's something beautiful about sacrifice. Whenever you see it in a movie or in real life, it does move you. And I personally believe, because it's a reflection of God's sacrifice for us when he sacrificed his son to die on the cross. When you have people who are willing to lay aside their own interests, their own selfish desires or their own plans, so that they can focus on your best interests, what's best for you. It really is a beautiful thing. That's why those are the great friendships. Because you're not making it about you. You're making it about them in a loving way. And then they make it about you. And that's why it's reciprocated. And when you are sacrificial towards one another, that's how you build really good friendships. And that's why, as I mentioned earlier, when you are able to sacrifice not only for one another, but you sacrifice together for a common vision and mission, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to build a really strong friendship. Think about your life group this year. If you guys come together around a common vision, like values that you're going to live your life in this context of life group, you know what happens? You're going to start seeing each other like almost as a brother or sister in Christ. You guys are going to be able to do some incredible things. Like, for instance, you want to reach out to the whole campus, or you want to reach out to the city and share the gospel with as many people as possible. You want to see people putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you make that a mission, a goal for your life group. And you work together for this, and you sacrifice towards that. It's going to bring you closer together. That's why I've seen a lot of people who go on a missions project and they're working together for the same mission and the same goal, and we get closer together because we're sacrificing sleep, we're sacrificing our comforts, we're sacrificing all these things because we want to see something happen, and that's what brings people together. I'm wondering if you have friends like that. And that's why John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The Message translation says, this is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. Putting your life on the line. Willing to sacrifice, willing to give for that other person. Let me quickly go over some next steps, and then we'll close here. As we're thinking through this, these are just traits that kind of you could spot of good friends. I know there's a lot more, but these are just the ones that are usually the ones that stick out a lot. And I just want to challenge us as we think about these traits, and we're going to talk about it in our life group time together here. I want to challenge us with, are these traits evident not only in my life, but how am I going to live this out in the context of our church, in our life group? Because if you do, not only will some of you guys be close friends, but also, I believe personally, that you guys are going to accomplish a lot more, and it will draw people to say, wow, what kind of group is this? That, wow, you guys really genuinely care and love for each other. You guys seem like you guys are very, like, enjoying each other's presence. You guys are laughing all the time. Actually, we're meeting at HKU. I don't know how many HKU people are here, but we were meeting in the library or whatever, this common area, because we couldn't find a place. And so we reserved it. And someone walked in and he was very angry because you guys are too loud. And, you know, I was going to say something, but, you know, oh, sorry. And I was going to say, we're friends. We laugh together. We have fun. But here's some practical things that I want to challenge you in the context of your life group and within the friends that you have. First of all, become a friend. Do you know that you will have friends by being a friend? Some of you are like, I have no friends. There's a reason why. So I always challenge people, look at these traits, be dependable, be someone that people could respect, be a person that you're encouraging, you're inspiring other people. Become a friend. Those people that God has placed in your life. I know some of you might still feel isolated or kind of like an outsider, but become a friend to the people in your life group and reach out to them. How can I sacrifice? How can I, hey, is there anything I could pray for you about? Because that's a sacrifice of your time, your energy. But by becoming a friend, you will gain friends. A lot of you are standing there and thinking, well, I want someone to come to me and be my friend. That's not going to happen. It might not happen. So become the friend that you want someone to become to you, and that's how you're going to gain friends. The second thing is this, build Christ-centered friendships. What I mean by that is simply this. Let Christ be in the center, and your friendships, whoever those people are, as you're even joining, just visually try to picture this, joining hands together around Christ in the center. And that means that all your attention, all your focus is on Christ. And when you're able to be on that kind of same mission together and that kind of same focus, you're going to build some great friendships. So build your Christ-centered friendships. And it starts in life group. When you guys talk about the Bible, when you talk about Christ, when you talk about doing something, build it around your relationship with Christ. The third and last thing is this. Be active in life group. Be active in life group. I think one of the best contexts to build some good friendships is in life group. I know some of you are kind of like forced to be in that life group. Like, I wanted to be on the Tuesday group, but I'm on the Wednesday. I'm on the Tuesday, but I don't like my leader. I want to go to a Wednesday. I don't know. Some of you are like, we only have one day, so I'm stuck, you know? You know, so pray that we'll start multiplying. But I mean, think about it. Here you are thinking, why am I with this group of people? Like, this coming Tuesday and Wednesday, I just want you to just sit down and just look around. And just look at the people who are in your group. And if you're like me, I'm going to be like, why am I with these people? Because all things being equal, some of these people will not even be in your sphere of hangout. Honestly, think about it. Okay, right now, think about your life group. No, no, yeah. No, no, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where we're all sitting together. And yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? There are people in your life right now that you just know, we just normally would not click and we wouldn't hang out. But why did that God put you there, together with them? And partly, I think, sometimes God places certain people in your life because God wants to work on you. Did you not pray this past year, God, make me more patient? Did you not pray this past month, Lord, make me more loving? If you ever prayed any of those types of prayer, voila. God is answering the prayer through that person because they drive you up the wall. You have zero patience. You're like, breathe, breathe. No drama, no drama, no drama. And then that person just, you cannot love. You're like, oh, God. Love, love. L-O-V-E-A. just gotta love. That's why I want to encourage us to be active in life group, to share and to be able to love one another. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to show you. Is this video ready? I'm going to close out with this video. And then what we're going to do is right afterwards, I want to come up and just pray for us. And then we're going to dismiss you in your life group. And I think, are we going to go over there or are we here? Okay, just around this area. We're going to just set up the tables and stuff. We're going to bring the food. And then you guys can collect the food and you guys can just kind of chill together. And there are three questions that I'm going to give to you through the church app. That's what I should do. We're not going to tell you what pastor we're preaching from. You find it on the church app, right? I don't know. We're going to use it more. Anyway. What am I saying? I don't know. Okay. How many of you guys like Disney movies? Okay. I think one of the reasons why the Disney movies do so well is because they know how to portray real issues and real human emotion through animation. Almost like kids' movies, and you're just like, aww. But deep inside, you're like, because it's touching, like, real emotional things. And that's why I think these Disney movies are really powerful. Not only for kids, they enjoy it, but even adults. And one topic that Disney has been able to cover is this issue of friendship. They've done a really awesome job. If you just go through the list of all the different movies. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you three scenes from three separate movies, and we kind of put it together like a montage. And I just want you to, and I hope all of you have seen the movie. How many of you have seen Big Hero 6? How many? Go watch Braveheart first. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. How many of you have seen Inside Out?
Yes.
Okay. And how many of you have seen Toy Story 3? So there's certain scenes that I kind of selected, and we kind of put it all together. And what I want you to do is this, as you watch this, because it's depicting what good friends are all about. I want you to be able to identify, like, what is it about that scene or that person or that group of people that makes that movie the way it is. And then I'm going to come up and pray for us. And then we'll divide it up into our life groups, and then we'll go over the three questions that will be also up here, but also on your phone. So let's watch this together. Come on, let's stand together as we close out in prayer. Those of you that didn't see those movies, sorry, now you know what happens. You know, one of the things I've said, and I think it's one of the most powerful ways to share the gospel, is that if there's ever a movie that touches your heart or makes you cry, there's some element of the gospel message there. And when you think about some of these movies, even the ones that we just quickly watched, when somebody is willing to sacrifice for somebody else, that reminds us of God's love for us when He sacrificed His Son so that we can have life. That's why it moves us. And I think deep inside all of us, somehow we want to have these kind of friendships, because within our hearts we know that we want to be loved, we want to be known. We want to know that we're worth something, that somebody's willing to spend time. One thing that I would say is the greatest friend that we have is through Jesus Christ. You got to get to know Him. So this coming year through Life Group, I'm hoping that all of you will encounter God in a powerful way. Those of you who are believers already, I want to challenge us. The way you build your friendships will really show the world the best friend that anyone could have, and that's Jesus Christ. Those of you who are in college years are the best years to really build good friendships. In fact, I've been telling people the friends you make in college are usually, not always 100%, but usually the ones who stand up in the weddings. Because you go through life together. You go through things together. Those of you who are single adults, I bet you many of you are slowly come to a realization that it's not as easy as you thought. Sometimes in the midst of all these different people, you could be alone. And that's why I pray that no matter how busy you are, you will continue to make the commitment and the investment to build relationships. Now, I didn't talk about a lot of things to be watching out for and things like that. And that's something that hopefully through your life group leaders and just time that you spend with people around you, there will be wisdom. And because some of you are going to be in like codependent relationships that are not very healthy. Some of you might be in opposite sex relationships that might not be really edifying. And some of us, we just got to learn to guard our hearts. But regardless where you are, I pray that some of your closest friends will come out of our church here, in your life group, and that we could be on a mission together. And maybe even 30 years some later, you guys will still be friends. That's what we need. Deep relationships,
committed to Jesus on a mission together for the glory of God. So Father, I just want to pray for every single person here. Thank you that you created us for relationships. You created us so that we can know you, because you already know us inside out. And through that, Lord, we can know other people. And thank you for our life group. Even though we didn't choose it, even though these people we might not naturally gravitate towards, but we know that you have a purpose for bringing these different people into our lives, in our life group. I just pray that you will use the life group context to help every single one of us to foster genuine friendship that is centered around Christ. I pray, God, that we'll think less of ourselves and more about you and people around us, Lord. Help us to be servants and help us to become a friend first. And as we reach out and we love on people, Lord, that through that, lives will be touched so that we can then build friendships that will last for a lifetime. I do pray, Lord, that those of us, anyone here who's lonely, feeling all alone by themselves, Lord, help them to know that there are people here who love them, people who care for them, people who is willing to walk with life, just through life with them, Lord. Help them to know that they're not alone. I pray for some of us who've been hurt by different relationships and different friendships, expectations that were not met. Lord, I pray that not only will you do the healing process, but God, that you will give us a stronger heart. And I pray that you'll fill us with more of your love so we can love those people around us instead of building up walls. And God, I pray that through our church, that with the friendships that are being built and the love that is shared, the love of Jesus, that there will be many more people who will come to know you because they see the love that we express. That's what you said in your word. That to love one another, and by this, all men and women will know you are my disciples. If you love one another, I pray that we will do that. Build real friendships here, Lord. We know it's going to take time. It's going to be messy. It's going to be hard. But Lord, at the end, it will always be worth it. It is better to love and be hurt through it than to never have loved before. Lord, teach us what it means to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. So we just thank you. And I just pray for favor over every single life group, even as we discuss these questions and as we share in fellowship and it's a meal here and just snacks. I pray, God, that you'll foster great friendships and that we'll just have a wonderful time of being able to go deeper into each other's lives. So we thank you so much. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord an offering, a clap here.